we were given strict instructions for this funeral. But she didn't say what we couldn't do before the funeral. Because she wanted that in the funeral. So now the funeral begins and the celebration of life. But certainly what a beautiful tribute and what a blessing to see family, to see her and Norm together in so many of those pictures. What a blessing, what a joy. And we want to thank you for coming as extended family, friends, church members. It is indeed a blessing to gather upon this day to remember a life that the Lord gave. We're reminded of the words of that we find in the book of Job, the Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's bow in a moment of prayer. Father, as we thank you upon this day for a beautiful day in your creation, it's a great day. It's a great day to be out there planting seeds. It's a great day, Father, to take a loved one to a cemetery and to know, Lord, that there is a glorious, glorious resurrection that is yet to come. That, Father, which we do today is but, in a sense, a preparation for what is yet to come. And yet, Father, it's also an acknowledgement of a great and glorious promise that you have given to us as your people. We thank you for Mary Ann's life. We thank you, Father, for the blessing that she was as a wife, as a mother, as a grandmother, great-grandmother, as a friend, as a fellow church member. Father, we do thank you for her life and all that it entailed and all the various ways and uniquenesses in which you created and made her and shaped her. And now, Lord, that she is now in glory with you in spirit. Father, we do not wish her back here upon this earth. We are excited and we are overjoyed at the fact that she is with you now in glory, rejoicing, and has seen, Father, her Savior. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessing then of this time that you give to Norm, to family, to all of us, Lord, to pause, to remember, to reflect, to hear her speak, Father, through this service. Words, Father, that she intended not about the dead, not about the one who passed, but about those who are living, those of us gathered here in this morning hour. So may we listen carefully to your words spoken to us this morning as well. In Christ's name, God's people say, amen. I want to read a few scripture passages that Mary Ann gave. There are but a few, but there are some embellishments on that she left as well. These were instructions. You see, I have my notes, okay? These are her instructions as to what I'm supposed to do. And on one of those sheets are scripture passages that are to be read at her funeral. Psalm 116:15, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. 1 Thessalonians 4, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Revelation 1 verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. Revelation 22:5. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Job 19:25. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he shall stand upon the earth. One of the other notes that Mary Ann left was that she made notation in the back of her daily devotional of the morning and evening by Charles Spurgeon. And in the back, she wrote down several of the days. And she didn't do this all at once. She did it over a collection of years. I believe, if I remember, she was given this back in April of 2002. And it is well worn. But there's a list in the back of those that, of those devotionals, 700 plus, that she took note of. The vast majority of them all have something to do with dying. So you think about that and you begin to think that she has been contemplating her death for a long time. She has been thinking about that event of last week, Saturday. She thought about it. She was reflecting on it. And as she read through these devotions, she took note of those. I'm going to take note of the ones she listed first. I'm not going to read the entire devotional, but that which she underlined, because she was proficient at underlining, whether it's in her Bible or whether it's in this devotional. And each one is given a title, each one is given a name, each one is given some note. The first one is June 29, the morning of June 29. She wrote in, "Death, our bodies sleep, our souls rejoice." And then the underlined parts. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Luke 23:43 is the whisper of Christ to every dying saint. Just think about that. She was reflecting upon that line. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise" is the whisper of Christ to every dying saint. "They sleep in Jesus, but their souls are before the throne of God, praising him day and night in his temple, singing hallelujahs to him who washed them from their sins in his blood. The body sleeps in its lonely bed of earth beneath the covert of grass." But what is the sleep? The idea connected with sleep is rest. And that is the thought that the Spirit of God would convey to us. Sleep makes each night a Sabbath for the day. Their quiet repose will never be broken until God rouses them to give them their full reward. Blessed in death, since it through the divine power disrobes us of this workday garment to clothe us with the wedding garment of incorruption. Blessed are those who sleep in Jesus. July 2, the morning devotional, "Death," she wrote, "we desire to be with Jesus. Blessed is the fact that Christians can rejoice even in the deepest distress. He is sick and suffering, but Jesus visits him and makes his bed for him. He is dying, and the cold, chilly waters of Jordan are gathering about him up to his neck. But Jesus puts his arms around him and cries, 'Fear not, beloved. To die is to be blessed. The waters of death have their source in heaven. They are not bitter. They are sweet as nectar, for they flow from the throne of God. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God.' Thus strengthened and consoled, the believer is not afraid to die. He is even willing to depart, for since he has seen Jesus as the morning star, he longs to gaze on him as the sun in its strength. Truly, the presence of Jesus is all the heaven we desire." And then this one. The note in the book was, "Make sure to use this one at my funeral." January 29, the morning, death. In our Christian pilgrimage, it is a good thing for the most part to be looking forward. Forward lies the crown, and onward is the goal. The future must, after all, to be the grand object of the faith of eyes. Looking into the future, we see sin cast out, the body of sin and death destroyed, the soul made perfect and fit to be a partaker. Looking further yet, the believer's enlightened eyes can see death's river passed, the gloomy stream forded, and the hills of light attained on which stands the celestial city. He sees himself enter within the pearly gates. The thought of this future may well relieve the darkness of the past and the gloom of the present. The joys of heaven will surely compensate for the sorrows of earth. Hush, hush, my doubts. Death is but a narrow stream, and you will soon have forded it. Time, how short. Eternity, how long. Death, how brief. Immortality, how endless. The road is short. I will soon be there. And then it ends with a poem to which she penned, "Very good. When the world, my heart is rending with its heaviest storms of care, my glad thoughts to heaven ascending find a refuge from despair. Face bright vision shall sustain me till life's pilgrimage is past. Fears may vex and troubles pain me. I shall reach my home at last." Marianne died last week, Saturday. This was the devotional for that Saturday morning, to which at some previous time she had penned reassuring truths. Never forget them. And I offer that to you as family, to you as friends and church members. These are reassuring truths. Never forget them. Now remember, this is the day mourning of her death. It is good to know that there is one who is always the same, one who is always with us. It is good that there is a stable rock in the midst of the billows of the sea of life. O my soul, do not set your affections on rusting, moth-eaten, decaying treasures, but set your heart on him who abides forever faithful to you. Put your all in Christ. Set all your affections on his person, all your hope in his merit, all your trust in his affectuous blood, and all your joy in his presence, so that you may laugh at loss and defy destruction. Death's black extinguisher must soon put out your candle. Oh, how sweet to have sunlight when the candle is gone. Trust yourself with him who will go with you through the black and surging currents of death's stream, and who will land you safely on the celestial shore and make you sit with him in heavenly places. Trust all your concerns to him who never can be taken from you, who will never leave you, who will never let you leave him, even Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. Lo, I am with you always. It is enough for my soul to live on, no matter who else might forsake me. Certainly, beautiful reminders. And the book is full of it. The book is just full of it. Reminders over and over and over again of the assurance that she had because of Christ. Now we turn to singing, because she selected songs as well for our service. The first one is going to be number 520. 520, I'm going to ask you to sing this song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." 520. all the stanzas. Then we're going to have a solo selection of a song that I'll comment on after it is sung. And the song is, His Eye is on the Sparrow. Ella?
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should thy shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely, longing for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubt and fear. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see, his eye. And I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, And I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Thank you, Ella.
Now I can tell you the rest of the story. Because if I told it before, Ella wouldn't have been able to sing.
So the reason that song was selected, most of you know the home that Mary Ann grew up in. Perhaps some of you have had the privilege of being in that farmhouse from time to time. The story is told that the song that we just heard was the song that her mother would often sing in the kitchen while getting meals ready. And Mary Ann would be sitting there listening to her mother. So I was pleased when I put out a note to the congregation, is anybody willing to sing? And it was a female, right? It just makes it all the more understandable as to why it's selected. It's a reminder of her mother in the kitchen working and singing. And one day, after the song was concluded, they turned and looked, and there in the kitchen window is a sparrow. God's own testimony of the sweetness and the beauty of his love and of his care. And so thank you, Ella, for coming forward, being willing to sing, singing it so beautifully, and a reminder of Mary Ann's own childhood and of hearing that song sung over and over and over again. But now it's our turn to sing another selection that she had. You'll find it on the song sheet that was accompanied the order of service. It's the song, Be Still My Soul. Now, you don't find this in too many hymn books. You have to find an old red hymn book, and there you'll find it noted. But once you sing the song, you'll see why Mary Ann would have selected this as well to be sung at her funeral. So I'm going to ask you to stand and sing the five stanzas of Be Still My Soul. Be Still My Soul, the five verses.
Oh,
I would encourage you, and I would encourage my brother Norm, take that song home. Read it often. Read it often. As a reminder that in the storms, in the difficult days, be still my soul, is what her desire was for you. We turn in God's word this morning to her selection. If you notice a theme, there is a theme to all of this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The first verses that were listed as far as those to be read at her funeral. And I figured if it was first, it must have been there for a reason. Marianne chose 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verses 1 through 5, perhaps words that are more familiar to us, it is Paul's teaching about the body being a tent and that there is prepared for us a house, a home in glory. And that's usually the scripture selection for a funeral. That's usually the passage that people request or is often used. Not Marianne. Marianne chose the verses that follow that. That, as it were, is a truth. That is the statement. Yes, here we are a tent. There we have a house. But these are the words she chose. Verses 6 through 10. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. And we could take a few minutes this morning to reminisce about the life that the Lord blessed this family and all of us with. We could reminisce on her games and puzzles. We could reminisce on her viciousness at playing Uno. I know that probably comes as a surprise to many of you. Or some other game called Wahoo. We could reminisce on a 75-year-old couple jet skiing. And just thinking about the dynamics of that. We could think about an old 53 Ford called Old Nelly Belly doing circles in front of the farm because she couldn't get it out of reverse. We could reminisce on all of that, but that's not what she wants us to do. She wants us to hear the word of God. She wants these words to be heard by you. Therefore, we are always of good courage. These, you see, are words for the living. These are words for the living, not words about the dead, which was my major instruction. And you see, after dealing with that section of the tent of our body and the house that is being prepared for us in the resurrection, Paul now spends time saying, okay, that's nice, but how are you going to live? How are you going to live? How are you and I, as those who are assembled here at a celebration of life service, how are we going to live knowing the life that we have been brought here together by? Two times in those verses, the phrase good courage appears. The word courage that is used in the Greek carries the idea of a boldness, carries the idea of hope, carries the idea of a confidence and of joy, of cheer. Good courage. See, the passage doesn't just say we're to have courage, because there's also the courage of stupidity. There's the courage of people who do foolish things. They think they're going to be okay. They absolutely believe they're going to be okay. But they're foolish in thinking it. Even the unbeliever, in some respects, we might say, lives with a certain boldness. They live in rebellion against God, and they're like, I'm confident I'm right. That would be a bad courage. Because you see, that kind of courage of, one would say, of rebellion or of pride or of a certain haughtiness or, as I said, of stupidity is not the kind of courage that Paul is addressing. It's not the kind of courage that Mary Ann wanted you to hear about today. It's good courage. It's the right kind of courage. It is the proper kind of courage. It is the kind of courage that we as believers in Jesus Christ have. Be of good courage. Good courage. Good courage. And the tense implies that isn't something you do once, or something you do now and then again. It's something you always have. It is continual. It is ongoing, regardless of the circumstances. Be still, my soul. Regardless of the circumstances. Read through the hymn again. Regardless of if it means loss of friends. Regardless of it means being forsaken. Regardless of it means if a loved one has departed. Be still, my soul. Always, ongoing, whatever those circumstances are, we are to be of those who are always, always of good courage. Now, Paul, as I said, uses that expression twice. Let me read the context of the first one again. He says, we are always of good courage. We know that. While we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. What's Paul dealing with? He's saying, okay, so we have this tent, and then we have this house in glory. How do you live? Well, you live with the confidence. You live with that courage of knowing this truth. While we're here, we are absent from the Lord. While we're here, there is something yet to come. And you live with that confidence of knowing that you have been given today to live because you know that there is a tomorrow. You live with boldness. You live with cheer. You live with joy. You live with assurance. You live with confidence because you know that as you live today, there is a tomorrow. And the tomorrow is with the Lord. And so we live by faith. We live each day knowing that there is a tomorrow. That knowing is by faith. None of us has a guarantee of being alive tomorrow. But we, as believers, know that there is a tomorrow. How do we know it? By faith. Because faith is that reminder that we just don't see what is, we just don't believe what is before our eyes. We believe in that which is unseen. And we confess it as truth, glorious truth. There is a tomorrow. There is a day that we will spend with the Lord. So we live today in Christ. That's how we're to live. This is the word to the living. This is the word to you and I. That Marianne selects this passage and says, yeah, this one is a good death passage. And certainly we would say we have seen that in our wife, in our mother, grandmother, our sister in the Lord. A confidence of living by faith, not by sight, in that which is yet to come. This book is filled with notations of that, of reminders. Yeah, I live today knowing that there is an eternity yet to come. And so I live today in that faith, in that hope, in that confidence, in that assurance. But then the second incident. Paul says, yes, we are of good courage, for we would rather be away from the body and at home in the Lord. Now he's talking about how does the believer die? See, the first incident is how do you live? Today, I live by faith, knowing tomorrow is coming. How do you die? How does one die? One dies with the same hope. Facing death with confidence, with assurance. I'll tell you, folks, that these last couple of months of seeing and visiting with Norm and Marianne, there was not one visit in which she did not say, I'm ready to die. I am ready to die. I'm ready to go. Well, yeah, she's been preparing it for a while. She's been getting ready for it for a long time. And she faced not just living with confidence, with joy. Yes, there is a tomorrow. But now when tomorrow came, when death approached, she faced it with the same confidence. She faced it with a cheerfulness, with a joy. I'm almost done here. And then I get to go to glory. I'm almost done. Knowing that yes, that death separates her for a time from friends, family, Norm. Yes. But that's much better. I hate to put it to you this way, family. But this passage is her saying, I'd rather be with Jesus than with you. I'd rather be with Jesus than with you. That doesn't mean she didn't love you. It doesn't mean she didn't care about you. It just meant she knew that being with Jesus was a far better thing. Far better thing. She's agreeing with the Apostle Paul. She's agreeing with the Holy Spirit. Assured of glory. So how do we live? Well, Paul concludes that as well. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So how do we live? We live for God's glory each and every day. How do we die? We die for God's glory. We are ready, we are prepared to live, and we are ready and we are prepared to die. We live to please him. We live in obedience to him, knowing that someday we face the judge, we face the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're either going to be acquitted or we're going to be condemned. Mary Ann knew, based upon the promises of God, based upon the covenant of God, based upon the work of Jesus Christ, that she was acquitted. Not was going to be acquitted. She knew she was already acquitted. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. She knew she was a saint and was on her way home. She knew that. For she lived by faith. She lived by faith in obedience to the Son of God. She knew she was a sinner. She knew she was saved by grace. She knew she was saved through faith in Christ alone, by his perfect obedience, and by his blood shed on a cross. She knew how to live in the Word. You might say, where did this all come from in her life? From the Word. She knew the Word. She read the Word. She studied the Word. Norm told me one of the last things that really was on her bucket list to do before she passed was to be back in Thursday morning Bible study one more time. In the Word. Notes in the Bible, notes in the devotional, in the Word, steeped in the Word. What happens when we're in the Word? Faith. It's what the Spirit uses to build and to strengthen us. So that, yes, we live today, knowing tomorrow is coming with faith, but we die with faith as well. We die with that confidence. We die with that good courage, knowing that we shall be at home with the Lord. She knew how to live in the Word. She knew how to live in prayer. Norm passed on to me the fact that they keep finding prayer lists here, there, and everywhere. List, list, list. Undoubtedly, some of you were upon those lists at one time or another as prayer requests that were offered down over the decades. She lived in prayer. What happens when you're in constant communion with the Lord? There is a closeness, there is a bond, there is a tightness. There is faith. God grants to his children, his beloved children, that good courage to live and that good courage to die. Norm knew that the fall of several months ago was the precursor. But I don't think Norm was the only one who knew. I think she knew too. And as the days progressed, the hope, the good courage to die became stronger and stronger and stronger. Why? Because she was a person who was in the Word. It planted deep in her. She was a person of prayer, good soil, well-watered, well-nourished. And she was in the church. She was in the body of Christ. To be in church on Sunday morning and Sunday evening was not a mistake. It was not a ritual. It was not an ordeal. It was a blessed joy. You want to know how you die with that good courage? Well, you don't stay away from the presence of the Lord on earth. We don't go off and do our own things. No, she was here. She was here. Because she knew that here is where her faith is built. She knew that in the Word, her faith was built. And she knew that on her knees, her faith was built. Faith to live and faith to die. Most people seek to avoid death as much as possible. Most people seek to walk away. Most people seek to try to do everything possible to escape the possibility of their own death. Mary Ann looked forward to it. Not run from it, run to it. Why? Because she not only knew how to live, she knew how to die. And this, my friends, is why the Lord could say, it is a beautiful thing. It is a precious thing in the eyes of the Lord when one of those saints breathes their last here upon earth. They utter their last words, and in an instant, that soul is with Jesus. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. Last Saturday, you were privileged, a couple of you, to witness the death of a saint. And in spite of the tears, in spite of the sorrow, the same good courage emerged. It was a good death because it was precious to the Lord. So are you ready to live the life of good courage? Are you living it? But perhaps more importantly even is, are you ready to die in that good courage? Are you building it? Are you preparing? Are you saying, man, she set a standard that nobody else can attain? False, untrue. Untrue. In the Word, in prayer, in church, her faith and strength were built by a gracious, loving God. Washed, cleansed in the precious blood of her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well done. Well done. Good and faithful servant. May those be the words that you hear upon your death as well. And so the question becomes, how will you spend the rest of your days? With bad courage, foolishness, stupidity, carelessness? Or with good courage to live by faith and to die in faith. May the Lord be pleased. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for moving your servant, Mary Ann, to select all of these various passages, to note these devotionals, to select these songs to be sung, to select the passages of your word to be read, to note this one first. For Lord, it not only speaks so true of her, which she probably wasn't thinking about when she selected it, But it does. It speaks so beautifully of Marianne's life. Good courage to live and to die. But Father, she selected it for us to hear today. And so, Father, by your grace, by the work of your Spirit, through the power and in your word, Father, draw us closer to Christ upon this day. And Lord, if we do not have that relationship with Jesus Christ, then Father, may we be fervent in prayer upon this day. And I would pray, Father, that if there are any here who are without Christ, that today might be the day of salvation, the day that salvation comes to their house, even as Jesus spoke those words to Zacchaeus of old. Today salvation has come to your home. Father, we long to see your churches full. We long to see the elect gathered from all tribes and nations. And it was a passion for Norm and Marianne as well, that Father, others might come to this glorious good courage that you give to us. We pray, Father, that we, leaving this place, might engage in the glorious, wonderful work of bringing the good news that brings good courage to live and to die. In Christ's glorious name we pray, and God's people say, amen. We turn to our last hymn, which is on the backside of that, Be Still My Soul. It's Blessed Assurance. I'm going to ask you to stand to sing that hymn. And then after it is finished, if you would remain seated, or if you would then sit down, we will then escort the casket out as well. Let's stand to sing Blessed Assurance.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Just a reminder that after we escort the casket out and the family goes to the gym, the rest of you as well are invited to a lunch that is being provided. Certainly a good opportunity for you to extend your continued sympathies to family, but also as a time of rejoicing. And perhaps you also have a share story to share, that good confidence, that good courage that was so exhibited throughout her life as well. Sorry, we don't have any raspberries and crates to give away. It's not yet the season. And although the peas are on the way, so we can take good confidence in that. So, family, or pallbearers, if you would come forward, and then family, if you would follow.